You're listening to Greater LA from KCRW, the show that connects you to the people and places of Southern California. Hi, I'm Steve Chiotakis. And the kids, well, they may not be all right.
I think that these days we're so sucked into our screens and our life is so perfectly curated. I think that contributed a lot to a social anxiety that I have. But now I'm older and I can kind of see why. You see these other perfect lives, and your life isn't like that. And so if I go out and people see that my life isn't like perfect, then I'm afraid that they'll judge me, or I'm afraid that they'll, I don't know, not like me.
That's Lana Condor, the star of the Netflix movie To All the Boys I've Loved Before, talking about her anxiety in a digital social impact campaign called High Anxiety. Well, the honest conversations from celebrities like Condor and Awkwafina are designed to help bring awareness to how much young people are affected by anxiety, to show young adults that they're not alone, and maybe even inspire some to get help if needed. A new survey of 800 young adults from across California found that a lot of young people ages 18 to 24 are experiencing anxiety and depression, more so than in years past. And many of them are finding it hard to get help, even with digital ad campaigns and famous people urging them to. Dave Metz is a pollster with the research firm Fairbank Maslin Maulin Metz & Associates, or FM3 Research, which conducted that survey for the California Endowment, and he joins us right now. Hey, Dave.
Good to be with you.
And Kent Toussaint is founder and director of the Teen Therapy Center, which sees young adults, teens, tweens, and families as well. Hey, Kent.
Hi, Steve.
Thanks for being with us, you both. Dave, I'll start with you. What did the folks who responded say were some of the most common mental health challenges that they faced in your survey?
Well, Steve, there was a remarkable range of challenges that the young adults that we spoke with told us they were experiencing. Overall, only about 2 in 5 California young adults rate their own mental health as either excellent or good, just 41%. And when we followed up and asked what kinds of mental health challenges they had faced over the course of the last 12 months, we had at least 2/3 who said that they had felt overwhelmed, experienced anxiety, excessive worrying, difficulty focusing, or feelings of isolation or loneliness. We also had majorities who said that they had felt depression or had had difficulty connecting with their family or with their friends. Almost 1/3 of California young adults said that they had had a period of suicidal thinking. And 16% indicated that they had practiced self-harm at some point during the last 12 months.
I wonder, demographically, how did it play out along gender lines? Was there anything that stood out in those kinds of data that you got?
There was. There were a couple of subgroups of young adults where we saw notably higher levels of people reporting mental health challenges, and gender was one of the biggest gaps that we saw. Nearly 2/3 of women rated their mental health as either fair or poor, 65%, whereas among men, that figure was only 47. So that's an 18-point gap, with women reporting more mental health challenges than men. Another one that really stood out was the among those respondents who identified as LGBTQ, more than 3/4, 77%, rated their mental health as fair or poor, compared to only 49% of those who identified as heterosexual. So really big gap there, 28 points.
Wow. Kent, I know you're seeing clients day in and day out. Are you hearing similar things?
Oh, absolutely. The clip you played at the very beginning of the spot we're doing, I think really clearly amplifies what we're talking about, is being captured by screens. So many kids I work with, and then young adults, will say they can't let go of their social media, but they also realize how detrimental it is to their mental health, which leads to self-harm, the comparisons, not feeling like they fit in. I think it's a really common thing that we're dealing with here at Teen Therapy Center.
Let's dig into that for a second, social media, right? How much of a role do you think it plays in that anxiety, in that drive to want to be like everybody else, better than everybody else? Hey, here I am having fun. I mean, what does social media mean in today's realm? And Dave, I'll ask you that question.
Sure. Well, there's clear indications in the survey that social media is having a negative impact on some level on young people's mental health. And this is something that young people themselves seem to be conscious of. We asked them to tell us whether they thought a variety of different factors had a positive or negative impact on their mental health. And while solid majorities said that their friends and their family had a positive impact on their mental health, when we asked about social media, it was only 22% who said they thought the impact was positive, 30% negative. But at the same time, it's something that's just an enormous part of their lives.
You know, it's interesting to me, Kent, because I think of the school years, right? You're in high school, peer pressure. I mean, that's been a thing for as long as there's been school, and kids have been, you know, around each other for a long time. And then you become an adult and those things don't bother you as much. But it seems like social media is sort of always there. And it's like being in school or like being in some social setting where you can't escape from it. Do I have that right?
I think so. I think because you can't escape from it. When we were kids, we would go home and whatever bullying or teasing was going on, it wasn't there at our house. But now we're online, it's always there. And it may not be direct bullying or teasing, could just be left out. You know, you're on Snapchat and you see your friends are over, you know, at the Calabasas Commons, but somehow they never reached out to you and invited you. So it can be excruciating from overt bullying to just passive isolation. But this is to video games, the internet as a whole is so overwhelming for kids because they can find anything they want, you know, and that prevents them from actually having the boredom to actually learn how to play guitar or go do a sport or go get involved in things. And that's what I think leads to a lot of anxiety and depression, because they're not getting out and living the world. They have no sense of autonomy, mastery, or purpose because they're distracted by that, by everything that's on a screen. And by the time, you know, kids get to 18, 20, 22, they're not used to, you know, putting themselves out there to take risks in social world, so their anxiety and their depression just gets overwhelming.
Obviously don't want to demonize, you know, the internet writ large, because
no, it's a wonderful thing.
For sure. It can be a wonderful thing. And like you say, you know, with the negatives of it and that social pressure, there's also the social grace that you get from it, or at least being connected with other people. But the other things going on in the world, like climate change, like the pandemic, like, you know, the wars that we're seeing around the world, and injustice, social injustice, things like that, the threats to democracy. Dave, I don't know if your data show this, but how much of a role do those things play?
Well, we actually did have a survey question that went right at that. We asked the young adults to tell us what role politics and current events have on their mental health. And it was the only item that they reported was more of a negative influence than social media. 45% said politics and current event affected their mental health negatively. Only 13% said it had a positive impact. And frankly, when we asked these young people to sort of rate their level of concern about a variety of issues facing them, mental health was near the top of the list. About 82% rated mental health a very serious problem. But there's a whole bunch of other things that were very, very close to that level. Everything from the cost of housing to a lack of well-paying jobs, drug and alcohol abuse, cost of college and trade school, and then bigger issues like climate change, racism, things that aren't necessarily may touch their own lives, but are about bigger things than them, are also having a negative impact on their mental health.
Dave, as I mentioned at the outset, in that survey that you did, young adults are having issues actually accessing the care that they need. More than half of the Californians surveyed said that money was a barrier and it would be too expensive for them to get help. So Kent, I mean, how do you address that?
Well, it's not easy. There's insurance, but finding a therapist who's on your insurance panel that you like is difficult. Finding a therapist who's not on insurance that you can afford is difficult. That's one of the reasons why we created a nonprofit at our place called Child and Teen Counseling, where we have a sliding scale, where we have, you know, very affordable therapy. And we're not the only place that does that. There are other places that do. But I think it's finding the right place that has therapists that is in your budget that understands your particular issues that you want to deal with. So someone who's a young adult, you probably want to find someone who you can relate to, who, you know, maybe, you know, is a young adult themselves. You know, someone like our nonprofit, we have therapists who are going through their training process and they're being supervised, and where we can keep the cost really low. I think that's a big part, is finding lower cost avenues. And I think the government is trying to do that, but the government works slowly. So places like us, we try to create, you know, nonprofits to attend that issue.
I'd like to add, I mean, the survey did show that only about 2 in 5 of the youth we spoke to said that they had spoken to a health professional about their mental health issues. Cost was the biggest factor that kept them from doing so. But even more broadly than that, 57% of the young people we interviewed said it was hard for them to talk with other people about their mental and emotional health. And when we offered a list of things that might be barriers to getting mental health care, again, cost was number one, but right behind it, we had solid majorities who told us they were worried they wouldn't be taken seriously. They felt like mental health care was for people with more serious problems than the one that they're confronting. They were worried about finding a provider who would understand their own background or experience. And they were worried about a stigma associated with seeking help for mental health issues, that they would be judged by their family members, friends, or coworkers. So cost is part of the equation, but obviously we have a societal stigma about getting help that I think leaves young people, like many older adults, hesitant to reach out when it would really help them if they did.
And generally, Kent, do you have any advice for young people who are, or for anyone really, who have this anxiety, feel this anxiety? Is there something they can do to not let it get out of control?
Well, I think the most important thing is to address it earlier than later. You know, therapists are there because they love doing what they do. They want to connect with people. This is why they choose to do it. There's no issue that's going to seem too trivial, because most likely it is going to be a deeper issue than one realizes. And generally speaking, our experience, when people come in, young adults come in and they're hesitant, they're cautious. Once they start connecting with a therapist, they find that it's really rewarding, it's helpful, it's safe, everything they say is confidential. So hopefully, if they do give it that shot, they can find their own sense of strength to overcome the issues they're dealing with. And eventually, hopefully, pass it on, you know, pay it forward to someone else, and they, you know, take the stigma away and allow other people, you know, from their leadership, you know, if they want to share that with people.
Well, thanks to you both for coming on and speaking with us about it. Kent Toussaint, founder and director of the Teen Therapy Center in Woodland Hills. Dave Metz, pollster with FM3 Research, which conducted that survey about young adults and their mental health. Dave and Kent, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we'll be back in a moment continuing our conversation about youth anxiety, and to school we go, and what it's like there and how the teachers are handling it. That's after this short break.